This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanisan. UWC Holdings was incorporated under the name Unique Wire Cut Sdn Bhd back in August 1990 as a trading company in Penang, supplying wire cut machines to customers from various industries. Today, the company is worth about 2 billion ringgit and is involved in the booming semiconductor supply chain that's been riding on the back of increased demand for chips across the world. But is it all smooth sailing going forward? To find out, I speak with Martin Ng, Deputy CEO of UWC Bhd. Martin, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Roshan, for the invitation for this interview.
It looks like you were one of the beneficiaries from COVID-19, as evidenced by your share price, which has more than doubled since its low 3 months back. Why was this so, Martin? What played into this optimism around your company?
I mean, our role is to grow our top line and bottom line. In terms of the share price, we will leave it to the market. So what happened was, for COVID-19, a few years ago, because our belief of diversification, we involved in part and parcel for life science equipment supply chain. And, you know, since last year, we engaged with the new customers where they also produce what we call COVID-19 related equipment. And we are one of their suppliers, main suppliers for this particular equipment. And this so happened that, you know, we are managing our customer quite well, in the sense that we get things done, we get our item qualified on time. And of course, the production kicked off beginning of this year. Therefore, you can see, you know, during the COVID-19, we are very busy with preparing on in terms of production to these COVID-19 related equipment. So we are working very hard, especially during the COVID-19. We are only allowed to run at a 50% operation. So yeah, that's a challenge for us.
So Martin, could you break that down for us? So you moved from trading to manufacturing as a business, and you are part of that supply chain involved in life science, medical, including and as well as semiconductors. Could you help contextualize what these end products look like?
All right. For semiconductor part, we are building testers. So, of course, because of the NDA signed between our customers, and of course, we have to protect our customers, we are not allowed to showcase any photos in our website. That, therefore, it creates some misunderstanding that whether are we manufacturing equipment. So for us, we are building testers, especially in the semiconductor segment. We are producing testers that test with computer chips, flash memories. These are the testers that we are producing. And in terms of life science, of course, there's plenty of equipment that we build, we involve in the supply chain for life science. So the difference between life science and medical is where medical is used directly towards the patient, and life science does not really have direct contact with the patient. So mainly they will be using in laboratories. So they are using for research and analytics purpose. So this is what we produce over here in UWC.
I'd like to talk further about life science and medical equipment. That's particularly interesting. How much growth have you seen here on the back of COVID-19 and the demand that's come from that?
Okay, if let's say you look at the revenue breakdown, quarter-to-quarter basis, right, we can see that majority of our sales is contributed by semiconductor over the past 2 to 3 quarters. However, when we compare Q3 and Q2 result, there is a growth of about close to 10% in terms of our life science segment in particular. So life science segment in Q3 contributed roughly close to 20% of our group turnover. So moving forward for the quarters to come, I foresee life science contribution to UWC revenue in general will be higher. But you know, when we look forward, looking backwards, what happened was we do see that semiconductor have been growing since we go IPO, or probably since 12 months ago. But however, it's not saying that life science is not growing, just as life science is not growing as quickly as semiconductor. But moving forward, we do think that life science is going to grow as fast as semiconductor, or probably faster than semiconductor.
Do you have a number for how much you want life science to contribute consistently?
Mm-mm. Of course, definitely what we want is to grow the company as much as possible, regardless of life science, regardless of semiconductor. As an organization, as a profit-orientated organization, what we need to do is to ensure to maximize the value of our shareholders. So regardless of which industry, as long as it can grow my bottom line, we will definitely tap into it. So at this juncture, at least for COVID-19 related equipment, because we have been involved and the forecast provided by my customers have been varied. So which means almost, you know, on a weekly basis or monthly basis, we do have conversation, we do have con call with our customers, and the forecast provided by our customers changes. However, in terms of visibilities, it's quite positive, it's quite optimistic. In terms of exact figures, I can't give you, because what happened was it changes on a weekly basis, you see. Because is it COVID-19, especially in global standpoint, is quite serious. It's getting worse you know, day by day. So the demand for life science career is getting stronger and stronger. So what I would say is, in the future or moving forward, I'm optimistic with the life science demand.
Now, since UWC was listed as a provider of essential services, you were granted approval to continue operations at 50% capacity by MITI. What kind of impact did this have on your business, if any, during that time?
Of course, if I say I'm telling you that there's no impact towards my business, then definitely I'm not telling the truth. Of course, definitely definitely impact us for sure, because COVID-19, it impacts everyone. So what happened was our financial year ended on end of July. So our third quarter began from February to April. So what happened was the MCO was declared in the mid of March, somewhere around in the middle of March. So in the middle of March, via MITI, we managed to get secured approval to run our operation at 50%. So therefore, when you look at this 3 months period, it actually impacts half of our quarter. So half of our quarter, we are running at a minimum capacity allowed by MITI, which is 50%. So of course, there's a sudden announcement for MCO by the government. So we take about 1 or 2 weeks time to adopt ourselves with the new changes or the new norm, but business as usual. In terms of how much it impacts our financial, recently we have made an announcement on our quarterly result in Q3. And when you look at comparison between Q3 and Q2, despite the fact that half of our quarters are operating under 50% or under during this MCO, we still manage to grow our profits. So of course, without MCO, I believe it's even better. Even though we are running at 50% operational capacity, we are still able to grow our organization.
Now, Martin, that could be very exciting news for shareholders. I guess the question now is, are you operating at full capacity?
Yep. During the fourth phase of MCO, if I'm not mistaken, which is beginning of May, we are allowed to run at full capacity with certain SOP to adhere within the organization and our employee.
So with that in mind, what's your earnings outlook for the year then? If you were operating at 50% and did that well, what can we expect for the year?
For these full years, of course, we are very conservative, but we will do all our best to not disappoint our shareholders and supporters.
All right, so no numbers for us on that part just yet?
Yep.
And looking at the third quarter that you were talking about earlier, you had an order book of about 60 million ringgit that was up 3% on quarter. What is your forecasted order book for 2020?
For 2020, because usually for the order book, this order book is provided by analysts, because we do not share any figures to the public. And what happened was, judging from the historical expectation from the analysts, it's quite close to our actual result. So I would say, this forecast by analysts is, in, to a certain extent, the gap with the actual result is not so huge. However, moving forward, in terms of our order book, we remain very optimistic. And so far during the MCO, we also receive many new inquiries from our existing customers as well as new customers. As you can see, Penang always top the national FDI in terms of manufacturing. And UWC, we are strong in the supply chain. So of course, on and off, we receive, you know, inquiry from new investors from overseas that set their presence in Penang.
Now, that's very encouraging news for Malaysia overall. On that note, we're going into a few messages right now. Up next, we'll get into dividends, stock price and risks going forward. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanderson, and with me this morning is Martin Ng, Deputy CEO of UWC Berhad. Martin, we were talking about your results a little earlier. Now, following the purchase of new machinery and equipment, your free cash flow has remained strong at 39 million ringgit with a current ratio of 3.9 times. That was as of January 31st. What are you going to do with that cash?
Okay, at the moment, we are stood at a net cash position of about 55.9 million with a current ratio of 3.98. Of course, within the organization, we have this dividend policy to distribute of 20% of a net profit into to reward our shareholders and of course to reward for their support for us. So internally, we do have the dividend policy. And in terms of other cash, what we are going to do is, of course, reinvestment. At the moment, when you look at my quarterly report, what happened was, even though you know we raised funds during the IPO for the purpose of investment in terms of CNC machines and robotics, however, when you look at the actual utilization, despite the fact that it shows that you know we haven't fully utilized, however, many of the machines already docked into our facilities or our premise. The reason why we didn't utilize every of our cash flow, IPO cash raise, is because we have these negotiations with our suppliers where we ask for terms. So we pay them in terms of installment. And of course, with the additional money cash flow available, we place in the bank and get some interest. Of course, to fund for my some of my trips to KL to do presentation, to do engagement with my investors. Of course, I mean, joke aside, in terms of other cash flow, we are looking at, of course, reinvestment to the organization in terms of automation, in terms of new machineries and technologies.
Martin, are you looking at any M&As?
We always keep our door open. If let's say there's a good M&A, why not?
But at present, there is nothing on your radar.
Yep.
Now, UWC was listed on July 10th last year, just under a year at this point, and was oversubscribed almost 5 times at that point, and was aiming to raise 57 million ringgit from the IPO. What have you primarily used the funding for?
Okay, the funding, majority of the funding goes to investment in CNC machine and robotics arm, automation, and part and parcel, we repay off bank borrowing because we are a very conservative organization with a gearing ratio of close to about 0.03. And of course, some of the funds go to funding of my working capital and also listing expenses. But majority of my funds goes to investment of new machineries and also automation.
On a more recent timeline, actually, what we've noticed in the share price is that it's more than doubled since the March low. Have investors gotten ahead of themselves here?
I think this is the market force and market confidence towards UWC. However, of course, what we need to do right now as the management of the organization is to deliver the bottom line to my shareholders.
If we look at the IPO price, I think that was 82 cents per share. And at that time, the PE ratio was around 13 times. But currently, the stock is up over 4 times from then with a PE ratio of 42 times. How much more upside is there considering that your valuations are not exactly cheap at this point?
Okay, when you look at my historical result, yeah, when you compare year on year, of course, it reflects in my result. I've been year on year, I think more than about close to 60% growth year on year result. This is the confidence that we offered. This is the result that we are delivering to our shareholders and our supporters. In terms of the valuation, is the optimism of the market forces that actually allowed to bring us to today's valuation. And of course, we are still doing our very best to continue grow our bottom line.
And speaking of your shareholders, we were talking about your dividend policy earlier. I think you mentioned it was 20%. With the amount of success that you're seeing right now, could this go up beyond 20%?
If let's say you look at my previous dividend, what we did was we distribute more than 20% of dividend. However, dividend of 20% is just a policy and a guideline for the organization moving forward. So which means our commitment is to distribute at least 20% of our profit after tax as a dividend to our shareholders. However, if in the future, it might vary. Looking at historical practice, what we do is we do offer more than 20% of dividend.
So far, Martin, everything is sounding great for UWC Berhad, but let's take a look at some of the challenges that could come ahead. You currently have 2 clients that give you more than 50% of your revenue. Isn't that a little risky at this point?
Okay. When you look at, we have this internal policy where we kept the reliable dependency on our customers around 35%. So this is our maximum risk exposure. However, consistently, we also acquire new customers. We also engage with potential customers. Of course, ongoing, that's the reason why we say we believe in diversification and transformation. That's why we are not purely just operating in the semiconductor industries. We also operate in lifestyle industries. So we are trying to balance up our risk exposure and our dependency with our customers.
Speaking about risk exposure, about 47% of your revenue is in dollars. Are you worried about foreign exchange risk?
Okay, so what happened in UWC is we have this agreement or consent. We have this, not a formal agreement, however, it's a gentleman's agreement with our customers where our commodities and our forex exposure is capped at 5%. So in within 5%, it will be absorbed within the organization. Any exposure beyond 5%, we will reopen negotiation with our customers. This is not a formal agreement. However, it's just a gentleman's agreement between UWC and our customers. And so far, we are able to pass on the cost to our customer.
Let's take a look at your sales. Now, about 59% was done in Malaysia. What's the plan to grow and diversify your sales overseas?
Of course, when you look at the reports, it's written over there, 59% is in Malaysia. However, all these product goes to free trade zone. So under the regulation of MITI, where delivery of our goods to free trade zone is considered as export, because ultimately all the goods that I delivered to free trade zone are not allowed to sell within the country. They have to export. So it's considered as indirect exports. But moving forward, we will continue to increase our customers' portfolio globally because we are exporters. See, majority of our sales come from exports. So we depend on American and European. So majority of our customers are based in US and Europe. Having said that, when you look at my prospectus, there's this saying that we deliver a lot to Singapore. However, these are just their regional headquarters. Ultimate parent company still remain in US and Europe.
Do you have numbers for us in terms of how big, ultimately, how big the US and Europe are?
Majority will be US.
Majority. How about China? Any traction there?
We do export to China, but having said that, the owners of the parent company of this Chinese company are American.
And what market or country right now is something that you are looking at as an opportunity to grow?
Of course, remain with US and also Europe, because our exposure to US tend to be bigger. So we're also looking forward to expose ourselves with the European market.
Martin, on this note, tensions are once again escalating between the US and China. Is this more of an opportunity or challenge for UWC Berhad?
I always like to give this example. During good time, there's people that not doing well. During bad time, there's people that shine like a diamond. So, of course, it depends on from what perspective we are looking at this tension. From our perspective, we are very positive, and we do think that there's, of course, spillover effect from this tension, and many things have to be diverted. Many investment is being diverted to Malaysia. As you can see from our foreign direct investment in Malaysia as a whole, you look at Penang as people call it the Silicon Valley in Asia. So what happened was a lot of MNCs, they are setting up their presence in Penang in particular. So this is therefore, because as I mentioned, we believe we are strong in the supply chain. So when these MNCs set up their presence in Penang, of course, definitely they are looking for their own supply chain in Penang. This is the opportunities that we are looking at. And of course, when there's tension, China-US trade war, it doesn't matter whether how tense is tension, nothing is going to stop the growth of technologies. It might be slow the technology a bit, but nothing is going to stop technology. Technologies will remain evolved, will continue to evolve.
So does that mean that essentially that escalating tensions could be good for your bottom line?
I hope we can capitalize on my bottom line, because what we see right now is those additional investment in Penang, they started to encourage us. So hopefully, sometimes in the future, we are able to show it in our bottom line. Because right now, all those new investors that come into Penang, they already started the inquiries with us. We have certain conversation.
Now, just taking a look at the overall growth, Martin, all the way from back in the 1990s when you were known as Unique Wire Cut, UWC Berhad has gone up the value chain. Where do you see the company going in the next few years, let's say in 5 years' time? Because I think you've ventured into front-end semiconductor segment in 2019. What is next for UWC Berhad?
Okay, when we look at technology segment, from our perspective, from our organization perspective, we do think that 5 years is probably slightly a bit longer, because technology industry tend to behave very dynamic. It changes very quickly. So let's look at 3 years outlook. When we look at 3 years outlook, we believe that the three catalysts of UWC growth are going to be 5G related equipment, front end semiconductor equipment, and also life science equipment. So why we go towards this direction? Of course, because we believe that this new segment, this catalyst, is going to deliver better margin than what we have right now. We intend to move up the value chain in the semiconductor industries more towards more front end products, and of course to secure better profitabilities and margin. When we look at front end semiconductor equipment, we are looking at equipment that deal directly with chips or deal directly with wafers. And when we look at this, it is definitely very high end and the margin is better. And of course, for our life science division, we also want to continue engage with new customers. And on, we work with other or new life science customers to build their testers.
Martin, of these three sectors that you mentioned as being important, what's the most profitable of the three?
Most profitable, I will say, front-end semiconductor.
And where do you see most of the growth coming from?
I think in terms of growth, semiconductor and life science moving forward in the next 3 years' time will be equivalent in terms of the growth in top line.
Right. And looking forward, Martin, you are the son of the current CEO and co-founder. With that in mind, are you the CEO in waiting?
We wouldn't, because we work as a team at the moment. So, of course, hopefully one day we can I can be the next leader in line, leading the organization to a greater height. But at the moment, I'm in this organization managing things that I have to manage, working on hand in hand with my father, which is the CEO of UWC. And of course, train myself, equip myself with better knowledge and better skill sets that I require to lead the company, to bring the company to the next level.
All right, Martin, on that note, I wish you all the best. It's exciting times ahead for UWC. Thank you for joining me today.
All right, thank you.
This morning, I was speaking with Martin Ng, Deputy CEO of UWC Berhad. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.